ESX equipment defect detector.
Milepost
38.8.
No defects. No defects.
Safety first, always.
End of transmission.
Hello and welcome to the morning report with your host Kevin and Sco KE3VIN.
This is episode 4, and it's actually a couple nights later. I think it's the 19th since episode 3, but some thoughts occurred to me that I wanted to get down on my recorder, and we'll put these at the head of the show, and then we'll get to the trains here in a moment. But some notes about this podcast. I'm not a showman, nor do I want to be a showman, and this is not a show, quote-unquote. I'm no Adam Curry, nor do I want to be. So this is not in any way or ever, well, I guess I can't say ever, but it's not intended to be a profit center or a money-making thing or even my secret desire to be some DJ, because I never had that desire. I'm not a DJ. I would suck at it, and I have absolutely no interest in doing that. This actually more comes out of my like since childhood to sort of keep diaries and notes and sort of document my experience. So this more has to do with that, in case you were wondering, which means that, of course, because it's not a show, the podcasts are not necessarily going to come on any particular schedule. That's great for me because I'm not under pressure to produce a podcast every week, month, whatever. And once in a while, maybe there'll be one every 3 days. Who knows? It all depends on what's going on in my life and what's documentable, what I feel like talking about. And at the same token, hopefully you'll find this interesting. I have no delusion that thousands of people are going to be downloading this and thinking it's interesting. So, you know, my voice probably is like nails on a chalkboard to many folks, so that's fine. It's a big world, you know, different strokes, so I got no problem with that. But as long as somebody finds this interesting, you know, I'd probably do this anyway, even if nobody, because, if, you know, I'm burning these to CD and sending them to my grandmother, who doesn't really have internet access, or even a computer for that matter, so if nothing else, Grandma will enjoy these. So I'm going to keep doing them. But if you find them enjoyable, hey, that's great. And I know that I listen to a bunch of different kinds of podcasts of weird, eclectic styles and tastes. And many of them do tend to be documentary or personal experience, that kind of thing. I just find that interesting. I like to listen to people talk about themselves or talk about their experiences. I'm really a listener more than a talker, so that's why I'm always shocked when I can pick up this thing and communicate and talk nonstop and not do a bunch of ums and ahs, which I'm trying hard not to do. I really hate pregnant pauses. I hate ums and ahs, so I'm trying hard not to do that. I just did it. I'm sorry. Very sorry. Anyway, I thought I would put that out there. That's my motivation, pure and simple. And if you enjoy this, that's great. If not, you know, there's plenty of other podcasts out there. I try to make it, or I hope to make it interesting and relevant and make it, you know, something that maybe you can use. I do like to work with technology and stuff, so maybe what I'm working on is stuff that you'd be interested in. I don't know. Maybe it'll all work out. Anyway, now onto the trains unless I get further down the interstate here and come up with something else I want to say before I get to the trains. But anyway, enjoy.
Go ahead with it, over.
Okay, this is the morning report. I'm sitting on Interstate 4. It's Friday, the 21st of December 2007. I have both the road, the CSX.
And he's doing the release, though.
He's trying to get a...
Automobile authority number 58557, engine 7886, employee Volkers. As released, stand on just two blocks, release 1700 GSTO.
Okay, I got a train he's trying to get a block, probably going north.
Thank you. I've laid dispatch to Jacksonville out.
Okay, well, I got the, somebody's calling on the road channel. I got both the dispatch and the road channels running for CSX, which is the main freight, it's the main freight carrier in Orlando. There is some freight that goes up through the, Central Florida Railroad, or actually Florida Central Railroad, FCEN, I think it is. It's changed hands a couple times. I think they changed their names. Okay, that's P92. That's the Amtrak train number 92, which, let's see, it's a 2, so it's going north. Okay, what's going on here? Is there... It's a busy day on the rails. I'm just going to turn this down so I can talk for a bit here. In Orlando, there's one central rail line, and that is what's called the main line. It's, it was built... 1932, which used to be the Henry Plant Line, which is now known as the S Line, that goes over to Tampa. So the 30s, so we're looking 70, 80 year old line. But that's the old, the main line today. Runs all the way up to Richmond, more or less. It does divert when you get up to Callahan, Florida, which is here, what's called the Florida Funnel, and that's where all train traffic, even the stuff from Tampa on the S-Line, they all come together there, Callahan and Folkston, Georgia, and from there all rail lines go north. They go up to Savannah, they go up to Brunswick. Some of the lines divert, like the passenger traffic goes out around Brunswick up to Savannah. Some of the rail traffic goes up through Georgia a slightly different way, and then you've got branches. You've got Norfolk Southern, which goes over to West Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Irondale, places like that. That's the main core. You've got some rail lines here local to Orlando that run the FCEN, which runs up through Lake County. In fact, it splits up here at Ivanhoe Boulevard on I-4. And runs straight back up almost parallel to 50 for a while and runs up to Lake County. And that train's Z90, or usually starts with Z for Zebra. He's usually coming through at this time, but I don't hear him out there, so maybe he's already come for the day. I'm on my way to Winter Park. It's 5 p.m. And the rails are fairly busy on a Friday night. Wednesday night's the best night. You've got lots of mixed freight, you've got cars coming down, you've got empties going north. Later in the night you have coal, the N-series trains, end November. You have rock trains, K trains, K650 that runs from the rock plant in DeBerry there. I forget the name of them. Runs down to Fort Lauderdale. There's a rock outfit down there. They run back and forth. all that runs through Winter Park. That's the kind of the nexus here in Central Florida. Sanford's another good location. The Sanford Amtrak passenger station is another good spot where you can kind of sit out a lawn chair. And I do it in the daytime. At night, they get a little nervous about you being out there since 9/11. Many of these places don't really like you out there at night. But I do know some places you can go where you're pretty much undetected if you want to do nighttime train watching. All right, well, I'm going to get ready to get on to Fairbanks on my way to Morse Avenue where the Winter Park Amtrak station is, and we'll start up there again. Okay, I just turned on to exit 87, which is Fairbanks Avenue, Orlando, Florida. Passing the world-famous Skycraft. That's a show unto itself we'll do sometime. Of course, they're now closed. I think they close at 5. And we're headed down to 1792 here, South Orlando Avenue. Then we're going to take a right on Morse Boulevard. The Amtrak station is at 150 West Morse Boulevard, Winter Park, Florida. Pretty safe place during the day. It's very popular with rail fans around here. Which ones are left? There's two core guys I know of around this town that are big into this, and actually three. And I don't see much of them anymore, so maybe it's kind of worn off. I don't know. I'm not really a big rail fan either anymore. I do it once in a while. I used to love doing it for enjoyment. It's weird, but I used to sit and just up at Sanford and listen at night. Somebody coming through on the road channel. By the way, the frequency is down here. The road channel is 160.590 megahertz. And that's the what they call the AA road channel. AA, by the way, is a district down here on the main line. At this part from Jacksonville down is AA is a dispatcher. I think it's AA all the way up to the Carolinas, and it becomes through Brunswick it changes. I don't remember anymore, and I have to go look at my notes. Anyway, down here in Florida where you're going to be, it's AA. The dispatch channel is 160.92. And that's where you will hear where the dispatcher will page out the train. They have a squawk box. It's basically a tone, sort of a DTMF tone that they lay on. The train will lay on it. And there's little repeater stations that pick up the signal. There's antennas every, I don't know, something like 15 miles, 10 miles, something like that. And the dispatcher actually has a phone connection. I think it's probably now network. But they have a phone connection to the antenna transmitter, and they're basically talking over a phone line to the train, and they know where the train is based on which antenna they're coming in on. Sometimes a particular train will be between antennas, and you'll hear the dispatcher, and you don't hear the train, or maybe you do hear both of them, but all of a sudden the dispatcher will get stronger than he was, or weaker. It's because he's changed transmitters. He's determined that the train's closer to another transmitter. But they call him AA, and there's some interesting AA characters. Hold on, I'll be right back. Okay, sorry, I'm making a right here on Morse Boulevard. And train station's down here a couple blocks. There's good parking. The left side, I try to stay on the right side, which is the far side of the station. Passengers use the left side. Now, all the passenger trains at this time of night, it's time of evening, it's 5 o'clock, 5:16 p.m. local time here. All the train driving should be done for the day unless there's been a delay. Sometimes a train from Miami, train 92, will be delayed, but I heard it working the track, so it is it's working its way out of here. So there's no wouldn't be any passengers to pick up now, so this is a good time. But if you come in the afternoon, that's major passenger time. You've got three passenger trains that come through here. You've got heading north, you've got 92 and 98. 98, I think, is the morning train. 92 is the afternoon train heading up to ultimately Washington, D.C. I forget where it terminates. You have the auto train, which is gosh, it's been a long time. I've really forgotten his number now. Oh well, he'll come to me later. Then you've got southbound trains, which PO-93, PO-91, PO-97. Yeah, okay. All right, well, we're here at the train station. I'm getting distracted while I'm trying to drive here. Okay, well, I'm here. I see passengers, so clearly the O-92 has not yet arrived. Because of that, here we go. That sounds like a watch box. There's a box that the trains run over to check for hot spots under the train or dragging cables. It's called an automatic train detector. I thought that was it. DTM up tone. Okay, train 92 is coming in. It's a good time. Yeah, train 92 is late. He's normally out of here by now. Okay, I've got the handheld here on dual band, both frequencies. I can hear 92 calling signal, so he should be nearby. Okay, so that tells me that northbound's on track number 2. In Orlando, they have what they call the double track block. And they have dual tracks running from basically Winter Park down to South Orlando. And that when they talk about holding the block, that's what they're talking about. They have to do this because there's so much freight coming through. They have to move trains around on different lines. And downtown Winter Park looks pretty for Christmas. Haven't been here in a while. Must be a long train because I see the baggage guy going way out there. hear the church bell in the background. Should have brought my camera. I'm going to take some pictures of Winter Park. It's kind of pretty. I'm going to go across the tracks here. I know he's coming on track number two. This old piece of rail sitting out here. Why? Okay, I heard train 92 calling signals, but I haven't heard him recently. I don't know where he's at. Double checking the radio. Schedule is anymore for train 92, but I thought it was like 4:30 or even earlier than that. No, I haven't been downtown Winter Park in a long while. They got a Barney's here. That's kind of cool. We're gonna have to do this again and have some geeks come over here. We can go to the Barney's and get some coffee. I'll do a video tour of Winter Park. Maybe that might be interesting. Anyway, it's kind of chilly. I like it. It's comfortable to me, but I'd say it's probably 71, 72, maybe 73 out right now. Very, very comfortable. Oh, there goes the crossing gates. So that means he's on his way. Hear him in the background. Yep, here it comes. Train number 67. Pretty good sized train for 92. I suppose people are heading up north for Christmas. First they're loading the baggage up. People in the window are looking out. Who the hell is this guy? What's he doing? I can understand that. Kind of freak comes around and watches trains when he should be home. By the way, we have a geek dinner tonight. Some German place I've never been to. Try to capture some of that. I don't know who all's coming. Might get some tasty conversation out of that. So, this is real exciting. I really am here for the freight. Amtrak's, it's interesting, but quite frankly, the Amtrak holds up the freight around here. so more interested in the freight. I don't know how commuter rail is going to work here. Looks like we're on track for it from DeBary down to South Orlando. I'm actually interested in it. The problem is getting from the somewhere from the tracks to work. I work by SeaWorld, and it's a bit of a ways from the tracks, so I'd have to get involved with bus systems. I don't know. There's a lot to be considered there. I'm also frequently on call. You end up staying later than you planned. This all messes up with your commuter plan, so we'll see how that goes, I guess. And of course, traffic's all backed up on Morse, which people are used to it by now. Okay. Nothing exciting to report on here. Ugh. Trains aren't even that loud anymore. It used to be you stand right next to it and you couldn't hear yourself think. Okay, he gave two toots on the whistle, which is a sign for the baggage man to check all the doors. It means he wants to leave. Usually they'll come on the road radio and say, can we go, but I haven't heard that traffic yet. Okay, two long tones. It means he's ready to roll out. And there he goes. He's starting to lurch forward. And the passenger cars are pretty heavily loaded, so this is a big train. I've been on this train when there's as little as three passenger cars on it. But it's a pretty big train tonight. There goes some happy people going to see family or something. Going up north. Alright, the good part is now the traffic, the parking lot will empty out and I can park wherever I want. Okay, so now I have a trackside park, which is the way it is when the passengers leave. So that's good. I like that. An eye on the time here. At this restaurant, 5:41. I'll leave here at 6:30, so I've got 45 minutes, I guess, train watching, if anything comes. Friday nights tend to be a little later. Wednesdays, it's earlier in the evening. There's two or three freight that'll come through, would normally come through right about now, between 6 and 8 at night. On Friday night, I think they tend to run a little later, but we'll see what comes up. Now that the pastor... Part of the problem is the passenger train is now going to leave Sanford, and when he leaves Sanford, there's no more double track. He's got single track all the way up to essentially Jacksonville, so that's a problem because that holds up the freight. And they have some silos or some sidings. There's a siding in Palatka. There's a siding in DeLand. I think it's a very long one, actually, now that I think about it. It's an extremely long one. That is often where they keyhole. Large freight trains can keyhole in there. Passenger trains basically get priority on the system, which is kind of annoying to the freight people. One of the concerns I have is getting commuter rail on these rails. I don't see how they're going to do it because it's going to create demand and competition for the freight. I know up in the DC area, the way they handle that is they tend to have the commuter trains during the day, and the freight runs at night, all night long. So, problem here is the noise. They don't like trains running. Okay, he's calling signals. They don't like the freight trains down here running at night. Annoying the folks, scaring people, making noise and all that, blah, blah. So, that's an issue. We'll see. And some of these trains, they have regular schedules they have to meet. They can't just... you just can't alter that. The coal train has to come through typically twice a day to feed OUC with coal, so that's one that's hard to deviate from. The baggage guy was just over here parking the baggage cart. I'm reading the sign here. It says, no trespassing or loitering. By authority of Amtrak. Let's see. Something will be prosecuted. I can't quite see the sign. It's a little dark. Yeah, they don't like you hanging out here. Of course, the good thing about Winter Park, it's such a public area. The public square is here. You know, across the street, all these shops are open, and it's nice and pretty here. It's evening time, so it's not totally dark yet, but yet it's dark enough that I can see the poles are all lit up. They have a big, giant Christmas tree out here in the center to the right of the station, and you can see across the street, all, you know, people are out shopping, and they got... You get a lot of this on the rail traffic. You were at.
Thank you so much.
Get a lot of this on the road channel where you can't really. They'll call out greetings to one another. On the road channel, you can't be heard as often by the dispatchers or anybody. They could. The dispatchers could tune into the road and listen, but they don't have time for that. They're busy. They usually listen to the dispatch channel. And the only way to get their attention is this DTMF tone that the trains have. They hit this box, squawk box, in the cab, and it sends this special tone out. The antennas, each of the antenna shacks, they receive the signal, and they call by phone line to the dispatcher, wake them up. Okay, so he just cleared Altamont. He's getting up there. Once he hits Longwood, he is going to hit this automatic train detector. We'll see if we can get some audio of that. Usually I can hear from Winter Park. It's better if I'm up in Longwood. We have another, what's really cool about where I live, in Orange City, we have another train detector. So at home I have a beam antenna pointing at it. So if I want, I'm not really into this much anymore. But I used to be really gung-ho into this back in 2001, 2002. I could point a beam antenna towards Orange City, which is only about 10 miles away from me, as a crow flies. And I could pick up all the train traffic, calling signals, because there is a signal there at Orange City. I'd hear them calling signals, and I can basically, you know, monitor all the train traffic on the main line. There's only one line going through Orange City, so they all have to go through it. So that's kind of a fun thing to do. One time I fantasized about moving my house closer to the train tracks. Wife didn't think much of that, and now that I'm a little older and wiser, I'm not really hip with that either. I don't really want to get up four times a night from train horns going by your house. But there is a house up there, the Orange City, literally walking distance of the track. So originally I thought that'd be kind of cool to live there. Well, at this point, I'm going to leave the recorder running. I'm going to, of course, cut out in the podcast all the empty bits. But you never know. The thing is, they tell you at CSX, expect train movement in any direction at any time. Well, that's true. Unless I hear them calling signals I hear on the radio, I don't know who's coming through. And I haven't heard much. Usually what happens is the freight clears out the rails. Okay, so he's south of Longwood. He should hit the train detector in a moment. Passenger trains, they clear out the rails from freight, and the freight's sitting in silos. Probably what's happening right now is the freight's sitting down at the yard in South Orlando, and some of the trains are being assembled there. Various cars are being coupled together, and then they're going to head north. So I don't know where the freight is at the moment. Some of the other freight may be up on the silo at Palatka, and he won't come out onto the main line until the passenger car is cleared north of there. So that'd be probably an hour, 45 minutes. So I might see him. If there's a freight sitting up there, I might see him on my way out to go to this dinner. So we'll see what happens. But I plan to come back another day when there's lots of train traffic. You know, the problem is on Saturdays and Sundays, there isn't that much traffic. So you have plenty of time to sit here. During the weekdays is really when you get a lot of train traffic. Of course, I'm at work, so normally can't watch all that. So let's see what's next. Okay, we should hear the train detector. He's north of Longwood. That sound is he's charging up. He got a golf cart they run out here, and he's charging that up. Well, I'm waiting. I guess I'll answer some comments. I had some email comments today from episode 3. A John Mason from Austin, Texas writes, and well, I didn't hear the train detector, so I guess the transmitter's not as strong as it used to be. I'm using ham radio receivers. I don't have my scanner in the car anymore. I ran out of space. Ham radio receivers, so when you're tuning out a band, they're not as sensitive as my scanner is, which is sensitive at all bands. So maybe it just took the scanner to pick it up. Anyway. Oh, here we go. Pretty down there. Quite strong enough to break the squelch. But basically, he gives a length of train. He counts the axles. He has a little temperature box under there. He can tell if there's a hot spot on the train. Sometimes you'll have an axle on fire. There's been stories of trains that have gone up here and set the woods on fire because they're so hot. Sparks are coming off and hitting dry grass. It's growing around the rails. And, of course, that's a problem. They have these hot box detectors that measure the temperature real quick and can tell you if you've got a fire going. They also check for dragging equipment. Sometimes when they couple the trains, there's an air hose. Each car is coupled with an air hose that runs the brakes. The engine can control all those brakes together. And sometimes the coupling falls off, or maybe somebody didn't have their Wheaties that morning and they forget to couple it or something, whatever. And the detector will tell you if you've got something dragging, which is usually a air brake coupling or a hose. Sometimes you have a brake, I guess. Anyway, it tells you if you've got anything dragging. Okay, now obviously I'm hearing road traffic, so there's freight up here somewhere. Either that or there's workers on the road, and I doubt that this time of night. Yeah, maybe that is maintenance away. They have what they call MOW. It's maintenance away.
Would it be better to say Pine Street? Church?
Yeah, he's in Orlando. Mentioning Church Street, so he's downtown.
All right, boss, you got it.
Some kid across the way here. Definitely not happy. Like a little park, community park, across from the rails here, across from the passenger station. And on the other side of that is the shopping district. See, they got these shops that are open, storefront. Heard a blast? Maybe that was a horn. But anyway, there's people milling about in the park. It's open, public. You can basically be here by the rails, no issues with that. One of the few places in Florida, I'm aware of, at least Central Florida, that lets you get this close to the rails. Now, Folkston, Georgia, that's a fun place to be because all the train traffic coming out of Florida heading for points north is going to go through that Florida funnel. So you get all the traffic we see. You see the orange train that for a while when the S line was down, we would have the orange train come through Sanford every day. Lines and lines and lines of Tropicana cars taking juice concentrate up north. Tropicana plant down here. Bradened radio there. Oh, that's a fire engine blast. That's a federal horn. Horns on these CSX trains usually are what they call K-chimes. They have a very distinct sound, especially the freight. Different models. Okay, the steward is back with the baggage. I don't know what he's riding around on this golf cart up and down the rail. Walkways here. I don't know what he's back now. Killing time or what he's doing. Yeah, so anyway, this Winter Park is a catch this podcast before Christmas is over. Definitely come down here. It's kind of a cool to be out here in the evening. Lights coupled with the shop decorations is pretty interesting. I used to like to go to... mine's not working today. Lake County, they have a very beautiful display. Mount Dora. There we go, Mount Dora. That's also, I haven't been there this year, but that's in the past been a very nice. One year they had a couple, I guess 2005, they had snow. They made manufactured snow. It was kind of cold out. And they had a snow machine that made snow, and there were people sledding down the side of the hills. It was kind of cool. All these towns here, like Winter Park and Mount Dora, and they have a homey feel to them. I think Lake Mary would like to have that. It's too overpopulated, but it's kind of a, they like to project this Mayberry persona. Fine. Good place to raise a family. Very, for the most part, safe. Safe as you can get in Central Florida. It's nice. Better than, you know, gray drab buildings with no life to them. Now, it's interesting, the passenger personnel are still here at the rail station. Maybe they're closing up now. Why, there's more passenger trains coming. So maybe the passenger system's backed up. I don't know. Here we go. Q-177, that's a big everyday freight.
Yeah, Q-177.
Now, he's calling on the road channel, so I don't think he's going to get the dispatcher's attention on the road channel. They're not usually listening to the road channel. He may not realize he's on the road channel. On the other hand, since he's not hitting the tone button, maybe he does. Your church bell again. Let's see, what time is it? 6 o'clock, so the chime is accurate. Q-177 is a long freight train. It's mixed freight. It's usually empties, I think. Hey, how many gongs are they going to do? Maybe they just do the same no matter what hour of the day it is. Now some of the churches started up. I'm holding it up to see if you can hear it. There you go. Ready for the PodSafe Music Network, the church bells. Oh, here we go. We got another treat. Now we can make this a church bells podcast. There's a, I was hoping to catch one of the rock trains. There's a guy called the Wolfman. K650. He usually runs that every evening at about this time. And he's a colorful character. A number of these engineers around here, the local ones, are. They'll get on the radio and we call him the Wolfman because he, I can't do it, but he, like Wolfman Jack, he loves to do that howl on the radio. And that's why I call him the Wolfman. There's a couple of them that are quite colorful. The dispatchers, too, I think I was saying earlier, you get to know them, their voice. Sometimes at night you have an unfamiliar voice, different, you know, somebody's on vacation or out sick and somebody else is taking over. But during the daytime it's pretty regular, and you'll hear initials like LRC and AJS, and I don't know their names, but that's basically their initials. Family out here playing. Thank you. couple out here with a, looks like he's a 2.5-year-old kid playing with a big beach ball. Wish I had a digital camera. I don't have one. I'd like to get one to do some HD quality. I've seen some of the stuff that Trucker Tom does. Tom Wiles, the Trucker Tom podcast, he does some really cool HD videos with his DV cam and his truck. I'd like to be able to do stuff like that. Not full time, but just once in a while I come across interesting stuff that's be worth taking a shot of. Like trains. Train watching is a good candidate for that. I don't know where Q-177 is. Must be in a silo somewhere. Okay, there's that squawk box I was telling you about where he's calling the dispatcher. I bet what's going on is he's been held in a block and the dispatcher's forgot about him or he's busy. Sometimes the dispatchers are working 2 or 3 train networks on a busy night. Somebody's out sick. It's Christmas time, so somebody's on vacation. Some of them get quite angry. I've been told by engineers in Maryland, where I come from, that it's not uncommon. Please come on. It's not uncommon for the dispatcher to basically lock all the signals and go have a smoke break, or especially at night, flirt with the women there, what have you, or go basically goof off, knowing that he can't move up the rails because each signal he hits is in a lock condition. It's in a red. He can't proceed without the dispatcher's approval. So they'll sit there. I've heard him sometimes lay on that thing for a good 20, 30 minutes trying to get the dispatcher's attention. He's not even at his desk. He's out goofing around, or so they say. I don't know. Never been to the dispatch office in Jacksonville. But that's what I've been told. And some of them, more than others, are notorious for this. So you'll often hear the engineer get really testy because he's been in this block. He's sitting there sometimes an hour. Dispatch hasn't come back to him. He's pretty sure he can have the block now. He can have the track, but he, of course, doesn't know that. You can't. There's very tight federal rules on how this works. You cannot. It's a serious offense to take the track without the dispatcher's approval. Basically, the dispatcher is the company. So you're really, I mean, there's paperwork to this, by the way. What the dispatcher's doing, he's reading you paperwork. They have orders, like they'll have a slow order. If a crossing turnbuckle's not working, lights are out, what have you. They have these slow orders, which is 5 miles an hour. So it's a little literal paper order that's issued by the company to you, the engineer, and what they do is they read this order out to you, and then the engineer has to read the order back to confirm that he's received it. And it's a whole federal thing. You have to do this. I mean, you sign it with your initials. That's why I've mentioned the initials of the dispatcher. And so the dispatcher represents the company, and in that regard, he represents the law. So the dispatcher's king. What he says you do, and what he says you don't do, or what he doesn't tell you you can do, you don't do. So it's very serious business. We've had a number of accidents in the past, some high-profile train wrecks, because they have different kinds of signaling systems. Some of them are cab signals, which I don't think CSX is real super big into at the moment. Norfolk Southern, I think, is all entirely cab signals, although they do call out on their road. CSX is more radio-based, so meaning that they don't have cab signals. They don't have electronic signals that run through the rail or run through the wiring by the rail that transmit this information. So they have to contact through radio to get their clearances. Sure what that was. Somebody had a mic open. These mics on these trains are not the best, particularly Amtrak. Amtrak is notorious for having really crappy microphones. And these guys mumble, and half time I can't understand what they're saying. The freight guys seem to be much better at it. They're much clearer. They yell into it. much easier to understand what they're saying most of the time. It is a federal requirement. I don't know the laws. I mean, you can go look them up. They're on the web. There is a, to be an engineer, you have to take tests to know that you know these laws, but there are federal regulations about train movements. One of them is that you're not to proceed beyond a signal unless you have clearance, and that clearance would either be a green signal or you are told to by the dispatcher through a written order that he's reading to you to proceed beyond a red or a flag signal. There's flags. They have various orders. There's standard orders a bunch. There's slow orders. There's approach orders. All kinds of different orders. And there's standing orders for certain grades. I'm sorry, for certain crossings that don't go away. There's standard orders. Like, I don't know, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but there might be a crossing down in Kissimmee, let's say, that is notorious for people getting hit or... you know, for whatever reason, people have a tendency to walk out on the tracks. They'll have a standing order that says, you know, always, you know, 5 mile an hour, 10 mile an hour through that to that grade through that crossing. Always, no matter what, night, day. These are standard orders. Then they'll modify those orders. And all this has to be read over the radio. That's why it's very important to have the dispatch channel in as well as the road, because you've got to hear what the dispatcher's telling the. The engineer. This gives you all a part of the puzzle. I don't pretend to know the freight business, the train business. I know people who know engineers. I have communicated with engineers through email. I've met a few over here. I met Bill a while back. I haven't heard or seen from him in a long time. He was a Amtrak engineer for the auto train. He would take the auto train up to South Carolina, then, see, the way this works, by the way, these engineers, they don't go the entire length of the train. I don't know who that is. Maybe somebody calling signals coming south. But they don't run the entire length of the schedule of the train. They only travel, let's see, he goes up, it's probably 300 miles. Depends on the run, but some of them, they may only go. For instance, a crew will come down here from Jacksonville. They'll come down here to typically down to Sanford, and then they'll run back up. So basically what happens is there's a bus. It's a there's actually a business for this. There's a taxi or a van service that picks them up when they come, and they try to arrange this so that you know, multiple freights come within the space of a couple hours. But they have this little shack over at Sanford that the engineers hang out in when they're waiting for their ride home. I think a lot of them are based out of Jacksonville, and this bus will eventually, I've been there at night and seen them, they'll pick them up and run them all the way back up to Jacksonville. Sometimes on longer runs, like the auto train, they put you in a motel for the night, and you'll make your run, you get up there, you spend the night in a motel, then you come back the next day, you drive the train back, or the next train that's coming back, fresh and ready. That's how they do it. So you're like 2 days on, 3 days off, 2 days on, 3 days off, that kind of thing. Interesting way to do it, but you don't exactly travel the world. None of the engineers do. They don't really go that far. And there's reasons for that. You get tired, fatigue, it's all kinds of reasons. And it's not like long-haul truckers where the trucker stays with the truck from the beginning of the manifest to the end, to the delivery. It's not that way in trains. At least I'm not aware of any examples where the guy stays with it the entire length. I'm pretty sure there aren't. So it's kind of like short-haul trucking, except that you don't get to bring your truck back very often. Sometimes, I guess, there are times when you might spend the night in a motel and then take the next freight train that they have for you to go back. But very often I notice they just take a bus back. It's a long day. Typically it takes about 3 hours. To run a train, I've observed, from Jacksonville, if you've got all the clearances and you have the rail line. So basically you have 3, maybe 4 hours of driving the train. Sometimes there's huge delays. Okay, somebody's coming. I can't make out all what she's saying, but she's calling signals, so. Clearly, we got Q177 out there, and we have this... this person that's running in, is an engineer. So I don't know what training she has. But, you know, it can take 35 hours to get a train from Jacksonville down here to Sanford. And since I guess they work 8-hour days, the rest of the 3 hours of their work day is getting back home again on a van. I personally know it takes me, from Deltona, it takes me 2.5-3 hours just to get up to Jacksonville, and I have a lead foot, so that's a long day for an engineer. It's probably more like a 9- or 10-hour day. But they seem to like it. I don't know what they get paid. I know they have to pass these tests. Difficult that is, but fun job. At one time I thought about doing it, but I don't want to do it for a living. I'd get tired of driving a train the same route every day. I mean, the fun of being a long-haul trucker is going different places and seeing what it's like. The bad thing about being a long-haul trucker is you don't get to stay anywhere very long. You don't get to sightsee. You got the next load to take, so that could be a drag after a while, I think. Let's see what time it is. It's going to suck if I have to leave to go to this dinner, and I'm going to miss 2 good freight trains of 18, so that's going to put a kink in my seeing these trains, I think. We'll see what happens. I hear this gal calling signals of what train this is. Okay, well, it's a short night. I've got to head on to this dinner. It's now 6:35, so I hear somebody out there calling signals, but they're very scratchy, and I'm not sure which direction they're going from here. So 177's out there somewhere. He may have already passed by, though. I heard him once, so I don't know what's going on with that. We'll have a part 2 or 3. We'll do more of these. But at least I got your appetite a little wet and gave you a little quick intro to rail fanning. Hopefully you weren't utterly bored, but I thought it'd be interesting to explore that. So we'll catch you next time.
Kevin was unable to stay log enough to catch Q177 or any other freight train, so in episode number 5 he will continue the great CSX train hunt. Look for it in an RSS feed near you.
That's by sucking!
Let's file this under R. For arrivederci.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.